Fort Myers. In our own backyard, we have this happening. I first heard about it in 2017, where there is in the Dunbar community, the city of Fort Myers dumped toxic waste for decades. Do you know that it took 1,200 trucks removing 30,000 tons of toxic waste materials to clean it up? 30,000 tons. The sludge from a water treatment facility was dumped for years. Imagine that, a water treatment facility that cleans your water, takes the waste and dumps it in the Black community for years. They did this in the 60s without the knowledge of the residents. The testing now up into 2019 continues to show arsenic levels above the standard drinking level. Now, our Department of Environmental Protection here in Florida, they deemed it non-hazardous. What? They said the groundwater is not a drinking option, but is non-hazardous. Now, you know, if you've paid attention to the news, that residents that grew up there, they played in the sludge, drank water from the wells during the dumping. And now we find out that it's hazardous. Yes, there is a lawsuit that is filed. It's against the city. It was filed in 2018. I don't know how many years it will take. Neither do you. But all we can do is wait and see. In the meantime, we don't know how many residents are hurt or harmed, what's going on in their bodies with their children, how many thousands and thousands of dollars they may have spent going back and forth to doctors trying to find out what's wrong. These things we have no idea, but we do know that 30,000 tons of toxic waste from a water treatment facility was dumped in a residential community like it was okay. Do it to them. They're burning. This is one of the many injustices the Black Lives Matter movement is fighting to put an end to. And I struggle to understand the complete and utter inhumanity inflicted upon my people by those in position of power. And it hurts deeply. It hurts deeply. But what is harder to comprehend is the indifference and callousness many white people, both here and in Fort Myers and at large, have as a result to Black Lives Matter. Why are you mad? You see, there's some kind of strange denial or pretending not to know or understand the concerns and issues and desires of the Black Lives Matter movement. And it's going around, what do they really want? How about clean drinking water? There's one for you. For me, those people, many of them have become or may become a hindrance to the movement. So I thought, okay, so some people are confused about Black Lives Matter. And they just don't understand. So I did what most of us do these days. And I said, let me go and look it up online. Let me see exactly what does the Black Lives Matter movement say about themselves, itself, on the internet. So I Googled Black Lives Matter. I did this on July 13th. That's when I visited the site. And has the pound sign in front of it. So I guess that's pound Black Lives Matter. I'm going to share a few things from the site. Please bear with me. Black Lives Matter was founded in 2013 in response to the acquittal of Trayvon Martin's murder. Yes, I said the name, Trayvon. Say the name, Trayvon. Who was Trayvon? Trayvon Benjamin Martin. He was 17 years old. He went to Sanford, Florida, again in Florida, right outside of Orlando, to to visit with his father to his new, soon to be, but never was, stepmom. They lived in a nice community, his new, soon to be stepmom. So he went with his father to her fiance's home, to his fiance's home. She lived in a townhouse. The name of the place was The Retreat at Twin Lakes in Sanford. So there's Trayvon. How old was he? 17? Drifted off to the store, bought himself something to drink and some Skittles, nice rainbow candies. I love rainbows. They give me reason to hope. And he's on his way back. It starts drizzling. He puts his hood on to protect himself from the rain. George Zimmerman sees him. Of course, there's a black kid, tall. He has a hoodie on. Let me follow him. He must be suspect. And we all know the rest. Trayvon's running. He's running. Trayvon sneaks up on him. He feels threatened. But somehow or another, he's shot. And Zimmerman, it was A-OK for him to do that to this young boy. His life was caught short. He was burning from the day he was born up until the day he was shot dead for being a black kid walking in. I will not say the wrong neighborhood. It was the right neighborhood. He was where he was supposed to be. He was not out of order. But his life is cut short. That is how and why Black Lives Matter movement started and was formed. I will continue with their website now. Black Lives Matter Foundation Incorporated, it is a global organization in the United States, in the United Kingdom, and in Canada, whose mission is to eradicate white supremacy and build local power to intervene in violence inflicted upon Black communities by the state and vigilantes like George Zimmerman. By combating and countering acts of violence, creating space for Black imagination and innovation, and centering Black joy, they go on to say, we are winning immediate improvements in our lives. They say that they're in expansive. They say that they affirm the lives of all Black, queer, trans folks, disabled folks, undocumented folks, folks with records. Don't let me go there with folks with records. That's another thing. Women and all Black lives along the gender spectrum. They want to say we are working for a world where Black lives are no longer systematically targeted for demise. And we affirm our humanity. Yes, our contributions to this society and our resilience, complete resilience in the face of deadly oppression. And as Maya Angelou said, and still we rise. The call for Black Lives to Matter is a rallying cry for all Black lives striving for liberation. So there, that's what's on the page. So if you don't know and you have a computer, Google it. You will find a lot more than what I just shared. So now I know that there are some people who think, ooh, what a vast and enormous thing they're trying to accomplish. Maybe it should be narrowed so then we can get a much better understanding of the movement. And yes, that may help. But Black Lives Matter, the movement cannot yield to that narrow assumption when the injustices are so vast and historically grounded. You cannot squeeze it. It is huge and has been going on for hundreds and hundreds of years. Furthermore, it is strange to me that the phrase Black Lives Matter it's offensive to some people. So there are these strange, odd responses that I hear and that I get. They're kind of whispered. I see it on the news. I see it on signs. And it says stuff like, blue lives matter, all lives matter, and so forth. Well, my response to that is going to take us right back to the beginning where I started. I began this message by sharing a parable about the flames and the fire. And I used that parable because not long ago, I had a conversation with my sister about Black Lives Matter. She's an attorney. Her husband's a doctor, emergency room doctor, emergency medicine. They're doing well. And yes, there are many people of color who are doing well. And they may have children like Trayvon, who's just walking along. And it's what life is taken away. These are the fears of people of color. What is happening when my children walk out the door? What happens if my son or daughter and they're going on a date? Will they make it back? What happens if they get stopped and my teenage son, he's finally able to drive alone and he's feeling himself because he's a man now and he's feeling himself. All of that testosterone is inside of him. Boop, boop, and he gets stopped. He might just let some of that testosterone come out. He might suck his teeth or roll his eyes. He might be holding the steering wheel real tight because he's terrified. He might forget where he was trying to go because he's terrified. This is our stories, living in terror of the very ones who's supposed to care for us. Moving on. So my sister shared with me a little story, but I want to set it up for you so you can follow along. So, calm down, because I'm sweating. I don't know about you. And so far, I made it through this, and I did not shed a tear. So let's pause here for just a moment, please. And take a few breaths. Try to relax yourself, because this is a heavy topic. And imagine you're home, and it's time for bed. You go through your routines, brush your teeth, take a shower. Some just brush their teeth and wash your face. Depends on how you feel. Finally, you crawl into bed and you drift off to sleep. Ooh, sweet sleep. And you wake in the middle of the night and you find your house is on fire. You manage to get out. You and your family, you get out. You're safe. You call the fire department. They come quickly and you are so relieved. Maybe some of my possessions can be saved. You watch as the firemen and women attach the hose. They take aim and they start showering the water on the blue house two doors down. That house is not even on fire, you're thinking. What's going on? You approach the fireman and you say, do you not see? My house is on fire. It's the one that's burning. Why are you not hosing down my house? The one that's burning. And the fireman turns to you. He pauses for just a moment. He gazes at you. And he opens his mouth and utters these words. All houses matter. And you wake up suddenly and realize it was a dream. And you're so grateful that your house is not on fire. My question, are you woke? Do you see the fire? Are you trying to put out the fires? Are you worried about the house that's not burning? Are you worried about all lives, blue lives, pink lives, green lives, this life, that life? Who is on fire? That's what your focus should be on. How can I help? So my fellow Unitarian Universalists, if you are indeed woke, you will know. You will know that I've been burning for 60 years. You will know that disabled people, their house is burning. Native people, queer people, indigenous people, marginalized people all over the world, queer, trans, gay, lesbian, undocumented folks with records, women, and Black lives all along the gender spectrum are burning. And the ones who set those flames are pretending to be blind by their denial and blaming the flame for the fire. And then they wave a Confederate flag and uphold statues that represent secession from the Union and a lost war. But nothing again is worse than that indifference. When I saw Trayvon chased and murdered for no reason, and when I saw a white man, a white policeman, so dehumanized that he can calmly murder George Floyd while being filmed with his hands resting in his pockets and his knee on George Floyd's neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds until he was dead. He was the judge, the jury, and the executioner. How dare him? And some white people still do not get it. I say to them, as James Baldwin said, you are monsters. This is what James Baldwin said, and I will say it in the contents. This is his quote. You see, there are days, and this is one of them, when you wonder what your role in this country and what your future is in it. How precisely are you going to reconcile yourself to your situation here? And how are you going to communicate to the vast, heedless, unthinking, cruel white majority that you are here? I am terrified at the moral apathy, the death of heart, which is happening in my country. These people have deluded themselves for so long that they really don't think I am human. And I base this on their conduct, not on what they say. And this means that they have become in themselves moral monsters. James Baldwin, he said this more than 50 years ago, and it still rings true. How very sad. Well, during our service earlier with all of the wonderful dancing and music, we heard Sam Cooke, change is gonna come. And there are many different memories, different historical people who said, this is what happened when he wrote change is gonna come. This is what happened when he wrote change is gonna come. Well, I found another little legend, I suppose. When Sam Cooke's Change is Gonna Come was wrote, he wrote it when he heard about the song Blowing in the Wind by Bob Dylan. And both of these songs, they dealt so aptly with the times they were living in. And yet I lean towards Sam, not because he was Black, because I don't think the answer is blowing in the wind, because we will never find it if it just blows in the wind. Instead, it must be in change. The change that Sam Cooke sang about when he said, change is gonna come. Change is going to come. And indeed, my brothers, my sisters, my Unitarian Universalist family, it is upon us. Our nation is struggling to learn and grow. And until that happens, they will continue to fall short of serving their own citizens. But I believe, and I must continue to believe, the change is going to come. In fact, I believe it is here. The old guard is dying, and a new and better way is ahead. So I say, as I said before, in times that I've had the opportunity to share before you, let us not grow weary in fighting the good fight. And I thank you for hearing me. Blessed be. Amen. And Ashe.
Wow, is that powerful, Albie? Woo! One of the ways we live our spiritual values in the world is by making them real through the form of financial contribution. I invite you to enliven your commitment to this community and be generous in giving to the support of the work of this congregation during this challenging time. Every month, we also donate funds to a community organization in Lake County. Our community sharing partner this month is the Literacy Council Gulf Coast. If you'd like to contribute today, you can do so by mailing a check to the church or by clicking the orange button that says donate on our church website. If you write a check, please be sure to designate your amount for UUCFM and or the sharing partner on the memo line. If you choose to click donate, then you can make one contribution and designate it that it's split between UUCFM and our sharing partner in any way you wish, or designate one or the other. Please join me in speaking the words of gratitude. By the work of our hands and the work of our hearts, our love is made real. May we be grateful for all that is given and grateful for all that is shared. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together. Years from now, we will remember the year 2020. We will remember COVID-19, and we will remember the coronavirus. We will remember stay-at-home orders. We will remember social distancing. We will remember wearing masks. We will remember those who survived the coronavirus and those who died from the coronavirus. We will remember the police brutality. We will remember the people of color who died at the hands of police officers. George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Derek Chauvin, Sean Reed, Stephen DeMarco Taylor, Arianne McCree, Terence Franklin, Walter Lewis Franklin II, Miles Hall, John Burns, Burris, William Green, Samuel David Mollard, Tamir Rice, Botham Shame Jean, E.J. Bradford, Michael Brown, Michael Dean, Jamie Johnson. We will remember during the pandemic the millions of people across the country and the world who protested, risking their lives in order to imagine a world where all people, regardless of their color, will live in peace. Holy and sacred Black rage be ever present in our struggle for liberation, in our work to be, to love, to exist. The way we find peace is knowing we are all light, and this little light of ours knows we will not go back. Maybe now is the time to call upon all angels. We will find peace somewhere over the rainbow. Amen. Blessed be. And let the people say Ashe. Thank you for the pleasure of your company. We encourage you to reach out and virtually touch someone by phone or Zoom this week. We will end your service with the postlude. Now is the time to move with this, however you move. Remember, now is also the time to change your view from speaker view to gallery view. Follow the people in the red, follow one of the people in the Zoom meeting who is wearing one of the red shirts. Here are the very simple four movements. All you need to do is it's this, and then it's this, and then this, and then this way. Very simple. At Paint Branch, 95% of the people did these moves. So with that, I also want to say that after the postlude, everyone is welcome to stay connected for discussion and virtual coffee time. We will try something new. You will be automatically connected into smaller Zoom chat breakout rooms automatically. And then if you stay in your breakout room, the host will bring you back so you can say hi to everyone. So please all join us as Jessica sings with her lovely voice. Jessica will sing her beautiful song with her lovely voice, and everyone join with the motions. Follow someone in the red shirt.
Staying at home means being online more than ever. You need to begin to protect yourself from cyber threats. Get the app today and work from it.
I am light, I am light. I am light, I am love. I am light, I am light. I am light, I am I am not the things my family did. I am not the voices in my head. I am not the pieces of the brokenness inside. I am light. I am light. I am light. I am I am light, I am light. I have made or any other things that caused me pain. I am not the pieces of a dream I left behind. I am light. I am light. I am light. I am light. I am not the color of my eyes. I am not the skin on the outside. I